First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
All right, welcome to a special edition of the podcast. We're actually taping this a week early. We're taping this on December 3rd, 2007. So if anybody gets injured in the NBA between then and today, the day you're listening to this, whatever day that may be, that is not our fault. We didn't jinx any of them. I am with my buddy Joe House. Joe, say hello.
Dollar bill, y'all.
Every year I write a column where I try to rank – the players, the top 40 players with the most trade value in the NBA from 40 to 1. And the goal is to try to figure out who is the most untradeable player in the league. So basically the rule is, let's say you take Dwight Howard. Who would the Magic trade Dwight Howard for? And who would they say, you know what, that's ridiculous, and hang up on? Who would make them think maybe we should do this but end up not doing it, whatever? It's all about degrees. And it's the seventh year that we've done this podcast. So what I thought we'd do every year before I write this column, what I do is I call House and we argue about the list. And
you know that you just said that this is the seventh year you've done this podcast.
It's
the seventh year we've had this argument. It's the 20th year we've had this argument.
Well, it's 20th year we've had the argument. Seventh year I've done the column.
Yeah.
It's the first year we've done the podcast.
Yes, Daddy.
Yes. Okay. So anyway, every year I call House, we argue about the list, and then eventually, from that argument, the list emerges. Now, House, a couple things before we dive into this. First of all, for the first year that I can ever remember, dating back to my old site, I think I have to turn this into a top 50.
I couldn't agree more. And the shocking thing is looking at who we have to drop out from last year's list. I mean, There are some prominent names on there.
Yeah, let's get to that.
It's so, really a testament to the top 50.
Right. So you're in agreement, or as Fred Durst would say, you're in agreement that I have to expand this from a top 40 to a top 50. It's not a cop-out.
It's not a cop-out at all. I think the argument could be made that we could go 60 deep this year.
Well, we don't want to do that.
No.
It's fun to drop people out and omit people.
That's right.
I'm so happy that the league is in such good shape that I could actually expand this to a top 50. Cause I remember like two or three years ago, I had trouble getting 40.
I recall having trouble getting 40.
Yeah. So anyway, just to clarify for people listening at home, part of the appeal with some of these players is their contracts. Like you might think, for instance, I'm going to give away one of these. Marcus Camby right now is ranked number 36th on my list. Now you might say, wow, I wouldn't trade Marcus Camby for Elton Brand. But actually you would, because Marcus Camby is only on the hook for 3 years, $23.6 million, whereas Elton Brand is 2 years, $32 million, and he's hurt. And Andre Kirilenko's on the books for $63 million for the next 4 years. Would you rather pay Marcus Camby $23 million for 3 years or Andre Kirilenko $63 million for four? House?
It's that very reason, that very dynamic, that I'm going to make a passionate argument in favor of none other than Ron Artest.
Okay. All right. Let's get to that.
He is off the list, off of last year's list.
Oh, wait. I got to read who's off last year's
list.
That's
a great starting point.
Okay. Now, I did the last time I did this list was July 2007. So here's who has been dropped from last summer's list. Tayshaun Prince, Boris Diaw, Ron Artest, Rip Hamilton, Kirk Heinrich, who wasn't just dropped. I actually wanted to take him and shoot him in the head, but the laws wouldn't allow me. Sean Livingston got hurt, so he's out. Ray Allen was number 26 two summers ago. Now I just think he's too old. Allen Iverson, number 24. Jermaine O'Neal, number 23. Jermaine O'Neal, you could argue, is one of the 10 worst contracts in the league.
Yeah.
Vince Carter, number 19. And then the most shocking one, Shaquille O'Neal, number 14, two summers ago, and now completely off the list.
You know what they say about those centers?
Yeah. What do they say?
I don't know.
They age fast?
Yes, they age fast.
Yeah. Shaq's turned into a moving mummy. Now, out of the guys in that list, the only guy you disagree with is Ron Artest.
Yeah, although I will say it raised my eyebrows to see AI on here. And it hurts a little, to be honest.
Well, he makes a lot of money. He makes $17 million. He's old.
Right.
He's got some miles on him. And then you look at what he got traded for last winter. Basically, Andre Miller and a couple crappy picks.
That's right. And so he has to come off the list because just looking at this, I don't see Andre Miller on anywhere on here.
No, I left him off because he's about to get traded for the poo-poo platter for the Hawks or somebody.
That's right.
And Ray Allen, same thing. Ray Allen, you could make a case one of the best 40 players in the league, no question, but traded last year for the number 5, Delonte West, and Wally Szczerbiak's terrible contract.
That's right.
So he's got to come off. Now, make the case for me for Artest because I'm willing to be talked into this.
See, the Artest thing to me is, and part of this is going to be hard because I think we want to let people in on the top 50 sort of gently and let you go through it. But when I see Artest and his contract and I see some of the players that we have in the 40 to 50 range, Artest, even with all of the added fun that he brings to the table, gives you night in, night out, nothing but effort. He is the anti-Vince Carter.
Right.
He's the fundamental opposite. No matter what the situation for Artest, in fact, and he's been doing that for years. He's been in crazy situations with teams because of his eccentricities, and yet you get nothing but effort. And this year is yet another banner Artest effort year. And
okay.
The key thing to me with him is his contract. I mean, he is grossly underpaid by NBA standards for what
Wait. He's a lunatic. he's a completely insane. What are you talking about?
But that's not. How's that translate into wins and losses?
Not well lately. Sacramento was one of the worst teams last year.
Well, but what did his sort of lunacy? How would you measure his lunacy in terms of wins and losses for that Sacramento team?
Okay. Well, let me throw this at you. Would you rather have him or Steven Jackson? If you were Golden State.
If you were Golden State, you'd rather have Steven Jackson, I think.
Okay, then why isn't Steven Jackson on this list ahead of Ron Artest? He actually makes a little bit less.
Yeah, but this isn't team-by-team analysis, because if we did it that way, a lot of players are a lot more valuable to their respective teams in a sort of individual, discrete way than on a global way, which is the way we're measuring this.
Who would you rather play with?
Artest. Are you kidding me?
Who would you rather hang out with?
Steven Jackson.
See, I think that factors in. Everybody says Artest is just a complete lunatic, and you don't know if you can count on him from week to week.
I don't. Well, we can revisit Artest and where he belongs once we start going through some of the names in the 40 to 50 range.
None of those other names bother you, right?
No.
Shaq, startling from number 14 to out.
He right off a cliff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a shame. I wish that all of the commentators weren't proven correct, but it just happens to big centers.
Yeah, and I also wonder, we don't know how much the divorce is preying on him.
Well, that's true, but just in one of these recent games, and I wish we could convince TNT to stop showing Miami games, because
I know
it's really a bit much to take, but I think Hubie observed that the guy can barely get his arms over his head these days. From all the banging and all the wear and tear on his shoulders.
Unless he's eating. But here's the thing with Shaq. He's on a terrible team. He's got Pat Riley as his coach, who, other than PJ Carlissimo, sounds like the worst possible guy to play for.
Right.
And he's playing with, like, Ricky Davis and Mark Blount, all these schmucks. Is he salvageable on another team? I feel like he is.
Oh, sure, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, he's... just by sheer sort of magnitude of force and will, he's salvageable in the right circumstance.
They should move him.
They should move him. The problem is the $23 million.
He's got like $63 million for the next 3 years.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
That's a detriment.
That tends to be a trade obstacle.
All right, House, what I did here is I did a top 49, so I'm going to leave one spot open.
Oh, excellent. Now, one other thing. We just did drop from last year's list. We need to do notable omissions, too, because I have
Well, that's what
comments.
I'm doing.
Okay.
Well,
good.
Out of this group of notable omissions,
yeah.
One of these guys is going to jump from the notable omissions group to the top 50. So,
oh, okay.
First of all, Vince Carter, notable omission. With his contract and his injuries, I just don't see how he's in the top 50.
Yeah, I mean, and his game.
And his game.
Right.
Richard Jefferson is playing out of his mind.
He really doesn't
have a good contract either, is the problem. He makes like 15, 16 million a year or something. But,
and the other problem with him is getting 65 games out of him. That's pretty much the ceiling, it seems like, the last handful of years.
But he's definitely one of the top 50 guys.
There's no argument.
Now, this shocked me that I left him off, but I feel good about it. Emeka Okafor.
Oh, that didn't shock me one bit.
Okay.
I didn't raise half an eyebrow at that. There are two other names on here that I did sort of think long and hard about.
All right, I'll go through the rest because all of these guys are younger guys who are still playing with their rookie contracts, which to me is appealing because you always want to pay somebody $4 million over paying them $16 million, which is something I learned from Joe Theismann. David Lee is on the books this year for $990,000.
This is one of the guys that I think belongs in the top 50.
All right, let me keep going. Brandon Roy, I think we both agree we're afraid of his knees.
Yes. Love his game, though.
Rudy Gay, I think we could both agree we're afraid of his heart. although he's been surprisingly decent this year.
Yes. And if he has a great year, I'll be one of the first to rush out and buy a Gay jersey.
Okay, well, I look forward to that.
It's on record.
Monta Ellis makes like 10 bucks an hour or something outrageous. Like he has the cheapest contract in the league and has really been coming on lately.
I really like him.
Yeah, he could be potentially on.
I think he's a homeless man, Sean Livingston.
Sean Livingston? What do you mean?
I
would have said Barbosa.
Barbosa.
Because he's got that kind of hybrid
speed,
game.
That little ultra speed. I just mean in terms of like owning a game.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. One of your favorites, Andres Biedrins.
He is one of my favorites.
And you might be able to talk me into
it. I want him in the top 50 also.
Danny Granger is about to be eligible to make more money than he's probably should make.
Yeah.
Which is why I left him off.
I like his game, though.
I do.
I liked him since he got drafted. I thought he got drafted way too low.
Yeah, we went nuts when that happened.
Yep.
Like, the Clippers took Korolev over him.
Yes.
There was some terrible. Toronto took Joey Graham over him.
Right. Your team took Gerald Green over him.
No. He was the pick after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we had our fingers crossed. Marvin Williams does a lot of the stuff that Danny Granger does. I think Danny Granger is a little bit better.
He is better. He's more polished.
Knocked him off. Yeah. The only reason you can make a case that he would be on is that Billy Knight would be humiliated to trade him after he took him over Chris Paul. Right?
Of course.
It would be a signed, sealed confession that he screwed up.
Yes. It would be the Darko confession is what it would
be. Yes. And
we've seen that.
And Dumars waited 2 years to loan and trade Darko.
And then, right.
And then the last guy I have on is Andrew Bogut, who for some reason you're vehemently against.
Against. Can't possibly. Wait a second. Did you say he's on? He's an omission or included?
He's an omission right now.
Yeah, well, he should be an omission.
Okay.
Look at his contract. The guy's making $6 million this year and $8 million next if the stats that I just looked at are reflective. And I can't think of a scenario where I'd prefer him to either David Lee or Biedrins.
$6 million?
$6 million is what I, you know, I won't mention the website I looked at, but one of these websites tout that as his salary.
I want to know why it's so hard to look up salary information. There should be a website that has everybody's salaries, all their perks.
There are a lot of websites that have guesses at the salary.
Right.
There's nowhere near any information on the perks. Like, we have no idea who gets a Hummer.
Hummer.
Yeah.
I'd also like a website to see how much these guys have left. Because I think Antoine Walker has about 50 grand left. He's made 120 million.
Oh, you want a bank account update?
Yeah, I want
a bank account.
At least say a checking balance. All right, so basically it's going to come down to, for this 50th spot.
Yeah.
David Lee,
yeah.
Monta Ellis, or Biedrins. And try to remove all bias from the fact that David Lee is wearing James Caan's hair from Rollerball.
that is the thing that would put him over the top. I actually am going to go with Biedrins.
Interesting. Now, he's eligible for a big extension.
He is eligible. That's right. They signed him up this year to they agreed to the extension.
Would you rather have him or Barbosa?
Barbosa.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to pencil in Andres Bader as number 50. All right. Let's get to the top 50.
Yep.
The first group, we do this in reverse order from 50 to 1. So each guy we mention, the next guy that's mentioned, we would not trade the second guy for the first guy at gunpoint. So as we go, each guy has a smidgen more trade value than the last guy. But we group these in the tiers so that you kind of get a general idea of who's in what tier. First section is cost-effective building blocks. And these are the seven guys. Andres Biagins, 50. Leandro Barbosa. Yi Jin Lan. I've been practicing that one, House.
I congratulations.
Ray Felton. Andrea Bargnani. Chris Kamen, who a year ago I would have swallowed poison over admitting that he would ever have been on this list. And then finally, Andrew Bynum. Now, do you like the order?
I only have one complaint about the order, and that is that I think the chairman, E, needs to be higher. And I actually think that he might belong in
the next group?
The next group or even the group ahead of that.
Really?
Only because of what he brings to the table in terms of his ambassadorship on behalf of the country and continent of China to the NBA.
So you're saying financially, he's worth more than what Raymond Felton brings to the United States of America.
That is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I think that E to a team, if it's a place with a large Asian population, pays for himself, 15, 20, 30 times over compared to some of the other names that are going to come ahead of him.
You mean a large Asian population? Oh, say like Seattle? The team that passed
right.
him?
Unlike perhaps a place like Milwaukee.
Yeah. Yeah, that Milwaukee, I don't know who you would take that would appeal to the people there, but it would probably be somebody who's heavier.
Big Baby.
Big Baby. Like Big Baby would have appealed to the people of Milwaukee. It's
he
somebody with a weight
right
problem.
In.
Yeah, it was somebody they identify with. Would you put Yi Jin Lan ahead of Andrea Bargnani?
Oh, yes, I would.
You would? Okay.
I would. Absolutely.
All right, I'm going to move him up. Past Bargnani. Would you rather have him or Chris Kamen?
That's tough because I think that Chris Kamen, as demonstrated by his performance this year, has a little bit of idiot savant to him.
Yeah.
That is, he sees
that is,
the game.
He's an idiot.
He sees the game in a linear way, and he picks that one thing that he wants to excel at, and he's not half bad at accomplishing it. And this year, he's been pretty hell-bent on scoring the basketball with some efficiency, and his rebounds have never been a problem.
When you say he sees things in a linear way, is that something that our old college roommate Horrocks told you? That sounded like one of his comments.
I might have borrowed that from him.
I'm gonna put E at 46. Why can't we just call him Yi? It's so annoying.
Until you just now pronounced his name the appropriate way, I have been calling him Yi. It's easier to just call him the chairman.
Yeah, let's call him the chairman. Yeah, because it's like if you saw Yao Ming, you wouldn't call him Ao Ming. Ao
no.
Ming, you call him Yao Ming.
That's right.
With E, it just looks like it should be Yi, and if it's pronounced E, then they should change the American spelling of it. Because they're translating from the Chinese letters to spell it, right?
Yeah, so they should just spell it how it sounds. I don't need all these extra complications. If it's E, then just spell it E, 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 and I'll know how to pronounce that.
Well, you know what's funny is you pronounce it the same way you pronounce E from Entourage, and those two guys have nothing in common. So I guess that's the way you should just think, is that it's E.
Neither one have a particularly compelling handling of the English language, but other than that.
Or personality.
Right.
Okay, so the revised version, but Biagins at 50, Barbosa. And by the way, one of the reasons we love Barbosa is that he is the worst agent in the NBA. His contract is 5 years, $33 million.
Yeah, I could make the case to have him much higher. I mean, I really love his motor and the way he plays.
I would agree with that, except that he does disappear.
He does disappear. It's true.
And he might be, I'm going to say wuss, but the there's thing, a word I would have rather used.
Well, the thing with him is if his you know, outside shot isn't falling. That's when he tends to go bye-bye.
Why do you think he hasn't switched to the Brazilian, just gone with Leandro?
He's not.
Why do you think he's holding out? No, all the Brazilians do it. Why would he hold out and just be Leandro?
I don't know. It's inexplicable. That's a perfect name for a single name, Leandro.
Leandro's a good name.
It's better than Nene.
Yeah. Nene, ever since he changed to the one name, his career went in the tank.
That's right.
He did sign a huge contract. All right, so we got Biedrins, Barbosa, Felton, Andrea Bargnani, who also needs a name change, Jinlan, Chris Kamen, and Andrew Bynum at 44. Are you happy with Bynum over Kamen?
Yes.
Okay, because Bynum is still under his rookie contract.
And we know that Bynum has significant trade value because the Lakers wouldn't trade him last year. They wouldn't include him in any deals that would improve that team and keep the best player in the NBA on their team.
Yeah, now you're looking at, he was going to be part of a deal for Jermaine O'Neal, who makes like $20 million a year.
Right.
And now I don't think the Lakers would do that straight up if it was possible at the cap.
That's right.
Yeah, because Jermaine O'Neal, now it turns out, is overrated.
Right? Well, he too, it looks like, has hit a wall a little bit. I mean, he never had any semblance of an offensive game, which is what, in those playoff series, held Indiana back, in my humble opinion. He was not the guy who could catch the ball inside of 4 minutes and guarantee either getting to the free throw line or making a high percentage shot. He has that turnaround baseline 8-footer, and that's just not a money shot.
Also, with these high school guys, there's going to be a little bit of potluck with these guys from the 95, 96, 97 drafts. Like, who knows when their career is just going to – like, they're 29, 30 on paper, but they might be, like, 36 in NBA years.
Yeah, that's right. That's an excellent point. How many games some of these guys have played, and it's sort of out of whack. There's no precedent for it. You can't look back 15 years ago and say, oh, this is what happens when a guy plays these many games.
I was reading – somebody sent me something that Kobe – has played as many regular season and playoff minutes as Michael, like he's in within 2,000 minutes of Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, and Magic Johnson.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, which is amazing. He's 29.
Him and Big Shot Rob, although Big Shot Rob's 35 or 36, but he's played played enough games and minutes to be 50 years old in basketball years.
I like what they're doing with him.
Me too. Brilliant. Yet another, fantastic, brilliant approach to a team by the San Antonio Spurs.
Come see us in February. Just take care of yourself. Yep. We need you for 4 months. Almost like a poor man's Clements.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to the next group. This group is called, by the way, we're horribly behind time already. I think we're at the 20-minute mark.
We'll speed it up.
This group is called You Have to Bowl Us Over, But We're Listening. Number 43, Elton Brand, who I had a really tough time placing just because he's injured.
Yep.
But he's got a reasonable contract, 2 years, $32 million.
Yeah, he's terrific. And I mean, he last year, coming off of that, the previous year would have been, where was he? I don't remember where he was, but in the mid-20s to 30s, low 30s.
I think I might have had him even higher. I might have had him in the teens.
He deserves it talent-wise, but the injury thing is,
All right, so we got Elton Brand, Andre Kirilenko, who's got a terrible contract. Yeah. Pau Gasol, I moved to 41 because I didn't realize he's on the hook for $63.3 million this year and the next three.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's a debacle.
Jerry,
oof.
What happened there?
Hey, anytime you can lock up the leader of a 41-win team, you got to do it. Rasheed Wallace, who we both love because he's 2 years, something like $24
million. I love him.
Your boy, Caron Butler.
He is my boy, too. That's one of the best contracts in the whole league.
4 years, $37.5 million.
Thank you, Mitch Kupchak.
Tyson Chandler, Michael Redd, and then Marcus Camby at 3 years, $23.6 million. Do you like the order?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's absolutely right. Camby's the best player out of that group, brings the most to the table. Although, Sheed might have an argument because of what he has demonstrated himself to be one hell of a winner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for the meltdown last year.
Yeah, except for that. And the meltdown in 2000.
Right. Except for those two meltdowns.
Throw those away.
But he is, sort of a senior veteran stabilizing presence, and he has shown that he could take games over, which, I wouldn't have guessed that 10 years ago.
Well, the catch with Wallace and Camby is that both of them are 33.
Yeah.
So you look at a team like Phoenix, and we're not going to get to Amari for about 25 more spots, but On paper, if they're trying to win the 2008 title, you might want to think about a trade with Omarion Rashid or Omarion Cambi as the principals.
I agree with that.
But 5 years from now, that trade's not helping you.
No, but, you know, this is the window. It's a Steve Nash window. And if you think you're going to, you know, you have 2 years, two legitimate years at winning the title,
yes,
you have to go for it, I think.
And I think Rashid is a better bet than Cambi just because of the team they have. I think he'd fit in better.
And the health component.
Now, the most shocking guy in this group, and we have to mention this, is Tyson Chandler, who was basically given away by Mr. John Paxson about 15, 16 months ago, and now is number 38 on this list. What an amazing turn of events that was.
Well, the crazy thing is that he belongs.
Yeah.
He's earned it. He's a dominating defensive presence.
Does a lot of that Cambi kind of stuff.
Really does.
Yeah. And Ben Wallace, we did not get to on this list. In fact, he's on the worst contract list, which we'll get to if we have time.
Who is Ben Wallace?
The next group. Just know he's worth more to us than to you. That's the name of this group. And here are the five guys. Number 35, Andre Iguodala, who I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Kevin Martin, who just signed a 5-year, $55 million extension. David West, who is making a paltry four years, $37.9 million.
Insane. One of my favorite players in the NBA.
Yeah. Chauncey Billups, Mr. Big Shot. Not sure.
Yeah.
If he's still Mr. Big Shot, but
he
might
right.
be. Now, it's arguable he could be in the last group and not this one.
Yeah.
And then LaMarcus Aldridge. So let's take these guys one at a time. I'm not a huge Iguodala fan. I like what he does. I'm not sure I'd want to pay him more than like $40 million.
I think that's about the right price for him.
Well,
$40 million
get
over what?
65.
Over 4 years?
Five I'm
years?
Saying I
he's an $8 to $10 million a year guy.
Yeah, he's worth what Caron Butler signed for.
Yeah, that's right. He is.
But he thinks he's worth $70 million.
He is not worth $70 million.
And he's not worth 60, and he's probably not even worth 50 unless it was 5 years, 50.
No. For that kind of money, you need a guy that can take over a game for a stretch of time.
Yeah.
And that's not his game, in my humble opinion.
Well, I think – I just don't think he's – when he's your best guy or second best guy, I don't think you're really going anywhere.
That's right. That's not a very good team.
If you're going to pay that much money for a number one or number two guy,
yeah,
you're basically locking up 45 wins or under.
Yes.
Now, the Kevin Martin contract I like, 5 years, $55 million. If he's your third best guy, you could do something.
And that's justifiable. I will say his name and place did raise my eyebrows a little bit. It's hard for me to see him on here ahead of guys like Brand or Caron or even Gasol with his terrible contract.
I like his contract, and he's putting up 27 a game. I just think you're getting a discount with him of about $15 million.
The thing with him, to me, though, is he got rich off of Sacramento being craptacular for a handful of years now.
Right.
So you don't know if you put him into a different situation, a team that's more competitive, whether he's capable of giving you what you need on that offensive end, you know,
right,
sort of with touching the ball a whole lot less.
Would you rather have him or Michael Redd for 20 more million?
Oh, that's not a – I'd much rather have Kevin Martin than Michael Redd for 20 more million.
Would you rather have him 5 years, 55, or Caron Butler 4 years, 37?
Caron Butler. I love
I think
tough
I would,
juice.
Too.
I love Tough Juice.
Do we have to move him up?
We might, because Tough Juice is shooting 53% from three-point range this year in direct response to what happened to Gilbert.
Even when your team made that trade, and full disclosure, House is a Wizards Bullets fan. Even when they made that trade for Kwame, it was a steal. Like even as they were announcing it to the league office, it was one of the 10 worst trades of the decade.
Yes.
And now it might be the worst
of the decade.
Yeah, possibly.
Let's think about that. There are some.
How could there be a worse trade than Caron Butler for Kwame Brown?
Well, I was trying to think back to whether the Mitch Richmond for Chris Webber trade. Whether we're still in that 10-year window or not.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think Tough Juice. I think we move Kevin Martin out of this group, and we move him up to right between Rashid Wallace and Caron Butler.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
You happy with that?
That's a good spot for him.
Okay.
I don't take anything away from him. with that crazy looking jump shot, it's amazing that he makes any shots.
He's an inspiration to us all. Okay, so we have Iguodala 34, David West 33, Chauncey Billups at 32, and LaMarcus Aldridge shockingly at 31. And it's also funny that LaMarcus Aldridge and Tyson Chandler within six spots of each other in this list. Both guys that John Paxson either had the rights to or traded.
Although in Paxson's defense with Aldridge, there was more than just whispers about whether or not he was soft. Now, he's come out and demonstrated that he's not soft in the least bit, but I think the first half season of his first year, it looked like some of those whispers may be true.
Saying, if I read this list to John Paxson, I think he would have hung up by now.
I think he would have hung up as soon as he heard it was you on the other end of the line.
that might be true. All right, the next group is called We'll Discuss Him, But You Can't Tell Anyone. And starting at number 30, Sean Marion, Luol Deng, Josh Howard, your boy Gilbert Arenas, who's hurt, and Mr. Joe Johnson at number 26. What do you think of that list?
It's a weird list is what it is to me.
Yeah, it is.
It's a hard one for me to sort of process.
Well, all right, let's say you're Phoenix and Steve Kerr is talking to John Paxson and Marion for Deng comes up and it's possible under the caps. Who doesn't make that deal? Marion for $16 million a year or Luol Deng for like $4 million this year and then whatever terrible contract he signs.
That's true. I forgot how cheap Deng is this year.
But just for this year, next year he signs a bad contract.
The problem is I fear that we have seen his ceiling in terms of the very best he's going to be his whole career was in the playoffs last year. And is that enough? Because this year is not very inspiring.
So you think he's a second or third banana, great defensive player, can give you some offense, but can't be the best guy on your team?
That's exactly what I think. I think he's got a bad team if he's the best player on your team.
Kind of like Iguodala. So maybe we should move Luol Deng to the previous paragraph.
Yeah.
I think we do.
And then we could bump in. You know who I would bump in a heartbeat is David West because I love David West's game.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I don't think New Orleans would trade David West for Luol Deng. I think Chicago makes that trade.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. God, he's really good. I've watched him like three or four times this year, and I'm shocked by what a killer he is and how hard he plays.
The thing that I like about him, he has that Charles Barkley plays so much bigger than his true size, his true dimensions.
I watched that team beat Dallas on Saturday night, which now that you're listening to this, the podcast listeners, which would have been about two weekends ago. But David West, Chris Paul, and Chandler, those three guys play harder than almost anybody.
No,
those are your three best guys. You're in good shape.
I agree with that. There's a lot of talk. You know, it's an interesting thing to think about this year around big threes. You know, a lot of teams have big threes. I'll put that New Orleans three up against a whole lot of threes.
Well, plus you look at they have Chandler and West for this year and the next three combined, $82 million.
Wow,
that's insane.
That's good.
They make as much together as Jermaine O'Neal is going to make.
Yep.
Okay, so we got 30 Sean Marion, 29 David West, 28 Josh Howard, who both of us don't like for some reason. There's something soft about him.
Yeah, but he does so many good things.
He does.
He doesn't have any Jason Terry in him, which is a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason Terry has that swag. JT will step up and say, look, I've had enough of this. I'm about to take the game over for 3 minutes. I'm going to defy people to stop me. And I don't think Josh Howard has shown us that at any point in his career, has he? Can you think of a game, you can point to a meaningful game that Josh Howard took over?
He seems like a nice guy, which is why it was funny during the exhibition game when one of his teammates got knocked down and he ran over and shoved the guy from behind, almost like he was trying to prove he wasn't a nice guy, but you know he is.
I don't have any problem with that.
I like Josh Howard. I just think 28 is the right spot for him.
I think that's the right spot.
Gilbert would obviously be a little higher here at 27, but he's going to be a free agent at the end of this year, which
yeah, it's
makes
the combination of the injury and the free agent that I had to, you know, sort of sit on my Homer tendency to throw up over him there because he's by every indication a top, you know, 15 to 20 player in the league.
And in the top 15, 20 of guys I wouldn't want to play with if I was their teammate.
I know. I know you, I know we've seen you
agree. You
you're on record.
Him. You would want to play with him. Would you want to play with Gilbert Arenas?
Does I don't
that,
know.
That sound like a fun time?
He's a winner, though.
He is?
I
what
think
has he won?
His arrival on the national scene, I don't think it's a coincidence that it coincides with the Wizards making the playoffs for the first time in 20 years.
In a horrendous conference.
Well, I mean, they've been in the playoffs and they weren't for 20 previous years.
Yeah. Oh, how soon you forget the 97 Boulé. George Mirasan, C-Webb, and Juwan Howard.
No, I mean won a playoff series.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They beat the Bulls.
No, congratulations on that. That was tough. And then Joe Johnson at 26.
It's just the right place for him.
Yeah, and you know what? If he's your best guy, you're going to be 5-10 or whatever the Hawks are right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Next group, Group F, pretty much untouchable. And this group is number 25, Mr. Josh Smith, who's making like $1.7 million or something crazy this year.
Yeah.
Al Horford at 24.
That's an interesting spot for him.
He's a beast. Well, here's the thing. You have him. He's got a five-year rookie contract, and he's eligible for an extension, I think, after year four.
Yeah.
So you have him locked in basically for $10 million or whatever over the next 4 years, and he's going to give you a double-double overnight.
I mean, I guess the crazy thing is you look at some of the names above him. Would Chicago trade Luol Deng for Al Horford?
Yes.
Would Dallas trade Josh Howard for Al Horford?
I don't know about that, but I think Atlanta would be less prone to even consider that one.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yep. So I don't know I didn't even raise Sean Marion because I know we won't even have to talk about the fact that Phoenix would trade Marion for Al Horford in a millisecond.
Yeah, Robert Sarver would be greenlighting that trade.
Yes.
Yeah,
the Arenas for Horford thing is hard because of what Arenas means to Washington.
Yeah,
but you know, if I had to sort of think about it and take it on its merit, I would feel like that's a reasonable value transaction.
Well, and you know, the trade alone maybe wouldn't be fair, but what you could do with the extra money that the trade created—that's the part you have to remember.
That's the point.
You get Al Horford.
Else. Yeah.
Well, because you're going to have to sign Arenas for $17 million a year after the season.
That's right.
Where you can pay Al Horford two.
Yep.
And then you can go out and get somebody else. So you're really getting two guys for the price of Arenas, maybe three.
Yes. All
right. So in this group, Josh Smith, Al Horford, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili tying at 22nd.
That's reasonable. Both of them have excellent contracts.
Yes.
Both of them are equally valuable to their team and would be great on other teams as well. That's
and,
the right spot.
Yeah, great contracts and also so valuable to their team probably it would be very tough to trade for them.
Yeah, and I can't imagine which one would say yes to a trade. I think they would both rather leave the league than leave San Antonio.
And then, so we got those guys tied at 22 and then Al Jefferson at 21, who's only 22 years old and has the second worst agent in the league. Because he signed an extension for 5 years, $55 million.
Now, I think that was Al more than anything, being humble. And that's one part of the reason why I like Al Jefferson.
I
think that was his humility and his, you know, sort of, look, I can take that. I've arrived. He's the anti-Carlos Boozer is what he is.
Well, I agree with you, but I think he also could have been humble and settled for $62 million for 5 years.
That's probably true.
$55 million was like kind of the T-Wolves offer. Their offer, and he's like, all right, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And they were like, whoa, no negotiation. All right, thank you, Al. So anyway, now here's my question for this group. Do the Spurs guys, should they be higher? Would you rather pay Manu Ginobili $9 million a year or Tracy McGrady $20 million a year?
Oh, I would take Manu.
I think I would too. So are the Spurs guys too – Now,
but you can't say the same of any of these guys that are down here other than really T-Mac, to be honest with you.
Well,
or with the exception of the best player in the NBA, Kobe.
Well, here's my next question: are those guys just perfect for San Antonio? Would not be as good on another team?
No, I don't think that at all. I think they'd both be terrific on other teams. The interesting thing for both of them, though, would be what if Tony Parker played for Sacramento and what if Manu played for Charlotte?
Right.
But, I think that for the vast majority of the teams, anybody middle of the pack to good to great in the league, that those guys would be excellent complements to, well,
what do I do with Tracy
team.
McGrady?
I don't know. I don't know what to do with him. Leave him in Houston. Keep him where he is.
No, no, but I have him right now. I have him number 19. Do I move him into the 20s?
No, he's in the right place. It just, you know, it's hard. Like, for instance, Minnesota, I think Minnesota, well, I don't know what they would do because who knows what Kevin McHale would do.
Kevin McHale's about.
You would say, I would say no to Jefferson for McGrady, and I would hang up the phone very quickly behind that.
Yeah, but McGrady's worth a lot to Houston as well because they're trying to win a title.
And McGrady is worth a lot to putting fannies in seats because
yes.
He's fun to watch. He's a compelling personality. And I just need a guy to win a playoff series for me.
Well, I was going to say,
that's
if you need somebody to lose in the first round, he's your guy. All right, so we got Josh Smith, Al Horford, Parker Ginobili, and Al Jefferson. That's the last group. This group is called Ridiculous for You and Ridiculous for Us. Number 20, Paul Pierce.
Yep.
Number 19, Tracy McGrady. 18, Carmelo Anthony. 17, Amari Stoudemire, and 16, Chris Bosh. Now, a lot of the reason for these rankings were the salaries.
Yeah.
Pierce, on the hook this year and the next three, 4 years, $75.5 million.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ooh, oofa.
But the owner has a framed jersey of him in his office. I don't think it's going anywhere.
The thing, I like PP. I like all the intangibles he brings. He just has too many minutes on his body.
Yeah.
I mean, when he was playing for Obi, good God. What was he averaging, 47 minutes a game?
49.
Yeah. The one I take issue with here on all of this is Melo. I think Melo needs to be at the very head of that class.
Over Chris Bosh?
Kind of.
Yeah, you know, I think I agree with you because I think I'd rather pay Carmelo 5 years, 66, than Chris Bosh 4 years, 60.
And you know, Melo still has that silly statistic of, you know, game winners. That percentage of game winners he hit, when that streak he has.
My only thing with Carmelo is that team seems to either self-destruct or get blown out more than they should self-destruct or get blown out.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to put your finger on as to why it is that happens with the regularity that it happens.
Mm.
I don't have an explanation for it, but,
Do you have a soft spot for Carmelo because you were in some of those gang videos that he made?
Well, because he didn't snitch on me.
He didn't snitch on you.
He stopped snitching.
Yeah.
I have a soft spot for him also, though, because the two USA basketball teams that he's played on, he was the best player on those teams.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the Barkley thing. I think you got to factor that in.
Yep.
When he played with other great guys, he rose to the occasion.
He did.
Whereas I don't know if I saw that with Paul Pierce a couple years ago.
Yeah, well, PP was on a bad team, but it's true.
Chris Bosh, what do you think?
I really like his game. I really give him a lot of credit for the role he's had in transforming Toronto, which may be one of the funnest teams in the whole NBA to watch. I mean, that's really genuinely a Euro team.
Yeah, it's a FIBA team.
You know, more Euros in there.
Yeah, that team and Milwaukee are both FIBA teams. They could easily just play for a country.
They really are.
You can play for like Slovenia.
I think, and he has the capacity for taking games over because I watched him do it. He does it every time he plays against Washington.
I don't like the fact that he's already having knee problems.
Well, that's
like 23.
That
makes me nervous. And speaking of knee problems, we never talked about Amari. 4 years, 62.7 left.
Yeah, I can't kill Phoenix on it, though.
No, I can't. I'm just saying, do you feel good about that contract if you're Phoenix?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
You say your prayers every morning when you wake up that, you know, that knee's gotten just a little half a beat healthier.
It's also worth mentioning that he got demolished by Dwight Howard last weekend.
Demolished. He's still not healthy all the way, though, you know? That's the unfortunate thing. As a fan, I still haven't seen him, you know, to that level he was in the conference finals 2 years ago.
The Spurs series.
Where he damn near beat the Spurs by himself. I mean, that was a Pantheon level performance.
It was.
That was a Sean Kemp level performance.
You know what? It was five games and he's been living off it ever since.
I know. They were that good though.
Let's go to Group D. And two of the most shocking names on this list that I just couldn't believe that were where they were.
Yeah.
This group's called Only If They Ask to Leave. Number 15, Baron Davis.
It's a shocker. It's hard to stomach. It's hard to swallow. But know what? I think he belongs there.
I do too.
I don't, you know,
He's one of the best guys in the league.
The thing that would be weird is a lot of teams with players above him, you know, in that 16 to like 30 range, say, would say no thanks to Baron Davis.
Yeah, but you know what? I would take him over anybody in that last group if I needed to win a playoff series.
Well, that's the point. That's the point. That's a guy who knows how to win basketball games.
Yeah, we know. We know that he shows up when it matters.
He just has got to figure out a way to keep himself healthy. The problem is the way he plays, it's hard to keep himself healthy.
Well, it seems like he's finally figured out that if he plays hard, he's going to be the best guy on the court almost every night.
Yeah.
That was his biggest jump.
Yeah, I agree with that. There definitely has been an attitude shift for him.
Yeah. Yeah, that team is so damn fun to watch. I didn't think they were going to be good this year, but now they've got everybody back. It's just, they're rolling teams.
And the crazy thing is they don't miss a beat without Jason Richardson, and I was really shocked to see him go.
Well, you know why? Because they had that guy from Kentucky, Kalana Izabikwe.
Right.
Who I don't think was drafted.
Yeah, I don't. Was he drafted in the second round?
I don't know, but the guy is legitimately good.
He filled that hole.
Yeah.
He filled in the Jason Richardson hole quite nicely.
And they also have a trade exception to trade for.
Wow.
Potentially. $10 million.
Oh, that's right. They're still sitting on that. They didn't do anything with that.
No, they can go get Kurt Thomas if they wanted, somebody like that.
Mm.
All right, so we got him at 15. Carlos Boozer at number 14. This actually might be too high. He actually could be in the tens, potentially.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, his salary, 3 years, $35.9 million.
But he's earning it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's low.
That's low.
He's worth 3 years, $50
million. Yeah, he is.
I got him at number 14. Darren Williams at number 13.
Sure.
Or as the casual NBA fans call him, Duran. And then a couple controversial ones that we're going to take issue with. I think we have about 15 minutes left.
Okay.
You agree with 15, 14, 13?
Yes.
Baron Davis, Carlos Boozer, Darren Williams, number 13.
Yep.
Greg Oden at number 12 and Kevin Durant at number 11.
Yeah. We're going to take issue with this.
All right. Make your case.
Well, the Oden thing I can live with. I can see him there. I have less of a problem with him there than where Durant is. Largely because of what he represents to that city and to that franchise and to the NBA as a whole. He's a terrific personality. He's demonstrated that. And I actually think that he's going to be first a game-changing defensive presence. And then I think as he sort of gets the NBA game, gets acclimated a little bit, that his offensive game is going to be tight. I mean, I think he's going to be an impact player.
So you don't care about the fact that he had microfracture surgery in one of his knees.
Well, I mean, you know, Jason Kidd did too, and I keep seeing triple doubles out of Jay Kidd.
Okay.
The Amari thing is the cautionary tale, though, because, you know, Amari can't keep going back to getting surgeries.
Kenny Martin is furious right now that you haven't mentioned him as a cautionary tale.
I don't know.
Career is completely ruined by microfracture surgery.
Yeah. I mean, he's just a bad luck guy, although it's tough to say a guy who's making $60 million over 4 years is a bad luck guy.
Well, so you're saying if Portland had to do it over again, they would take Oden over Durant?
I do. I do think that.
Even knowing about his bad knee?
I don't think he had a bad knee when they were doing all the analysis.
Yeah, but now he does. So you're saying they would take him over Durant again?
When's the draft?
Right now. It's happening in 2 minutes.
No, they would take Durant.
Of course they would. So Durant has to be ahead of Oden.
I guess. Maybe the thing is with both these guys, it's hard to have them in the top 50 as far as I'm personally concerned.
Why?
I have a real problem.
Put Al Horford in the top 50.
Well, Al Horford has played the best out of all three of those guys. You take issue with that? He's the best. He's made the most significant contribution to his team out of all those guys.
Okay, maybe I should move them back then.
That's what I'm
into the 20s
driving at. Yes.
All right.
Because for instance,
and they can always move up next year.
Would Minnesota trade Al Jefferson for Kevin Durant?
You get to pay Durant $5 million a year, and you get to pay Jefferson 11.
Yeah, but that 11 for Jefferson is under market for what he gives your team.
I think I'd rather have Al Jefferson than Greg Oden right now.
Well, that's okay. That's right. So Oden needs to go back. He needs to go back into I don't know. I mean, would Chicago trade Luol Deng for Oden?
Yes, in a millisecond.
Okay. So would Atlanta trade Josh Smith for Oden? Yes.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to move the Spurs guys into the group with Pierce, McGrady, Stoudemire, Bosch, and Anthony.
Yes.
And then I'm going to move Jefferson and Durant into the pretty much untouchable group, which now goes Josh Smith, Al Horford, Greg Oden, Al Jefferson, Kevin Durant.
That's the right place for him. All the rookies should be together.
Yeah,
especially
you're right.
The rookie who's the best of all of them.
Well,
right now.
But the Durant thing's really not fair because
yes, that's right.
Because he's on an awful team.
In an awful situation and no discernible plan other than getting that team out of Seattle for whatever reason I don't understand.
It's really one of the most unfair things that's happened in recent NBA history, in my opinion. The fact that you have this guy who's really potentially the next great scorer in the league, and he goes to this awful team in the city that's about to leave. This franchise that's about to leave the city, and he's forced to take 22 shots a night. He's got no point guard.
Right.
I just think this is so unfair. We have no idea how good this guy's going to be.
I know. It's a very cynical situation.
Yeah. All right. So that moves Baron Davis up to 13, Carlos Boozer to 12, and Darren Williams to 11.
That sounds right to me.
Okay. Now, Group C is called We Don't Know What the F to Do Here. And it involves one man, Mr.
It's a
Kobe
group
Bryant.
Of one.
It's a group of one, Mr. Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, I talked over you. Sorry about that.
Yes, Kobe Bryant. And you know what? I think we just skip him. I'm tired of talking about him.
I agree. What's there to say?
I think they're looking at 70 cents on the dollar if they want to trade him. And I don't frankly know why any good team – I don't know. I don't like anything that's happened with him the past 4 months.
Well, the crazy thing is I think that he should just stay with the Lakers.
Yeah, why not?
They all need to figure out a way to get past all the hullabaloo of the past 6 months and get on with themselves.
Yeah.
He's at his best with them. They're at their best with him. And everybody should just grow up and get on with it.
Well, the sad thing is by the time that he's ready to they're ready to really compete for a championship, he'll probably be over the hill.
Well, they need to do something. I mean, it's the same problem they confronted last year.
I mean, what do you do?
There were teams that wanted to give them good players last year. The Nets wanted to give them Jason Kidd.
You know what's the real tragedy? Is that the most logical trade is Kobe for Carmelo. And that trade can never happen because Kobe's incident, quote unquote, happened in Colorado.
Yeah, it is.
And that trade
true.
Can never happen.
It can never happen.
But that's the most logical trade. Kobe for Carmelo. Denver goes for the championship this year. They have Kobe, Iverson, Camby. It's an interesting team.
How much fun would that be to watch?
That would be good. Kobe and Iverson together would be one of the all-time fun things that's happened.
I mean, the defense alone. AI is still averaging around 3 steals a game.
All right, we have about 8 minutes left, so we've got to hurry this up.
We can do it.
Group B, let me save you some time. N-O.
N-O.
Number 9 is Yao Ming, who we put higher than maybe he should be just because he's worth so much to the Rockets with the Asian stuff.
Yep.
Number 8, Dirk Nowitzki. Number 7, Kevin Garnett. I just don't think the Celtics would trade him for anybody because he's meant so much to that team.
And they shouldn't trade him for anybody.
No, and they shouldn't. Now, here's where we get some controversy. Number 6 and number 5. I got Dwayne Wade at number 6 and Chris Paul at number 5.
You know, it's a weird thing to not have D. Wade in the top 4. But I think that Chris Paul is the best point guard in the league.
Yes, I agree. And also playing under a rookie contract still.
That's right.
Which would you rather pay Dwayne Wade $15 million or Chris Paul 4 or 5, whatever he's making? No contest.
Right, no contest.
Now, you are higher on Mr. Wade's future than I am.
That's right. And the one that I'll take issue with is in the next group. This is where the argument comes
in. All right, we'll get to that. But my thing with Dwayne Wade is now he was hurt all last season, and he's hurt now, and he doesn't look healthy to me. And he's had, you know, that shoulder. You hurt your shoulder, and you have surgery on your shoulder. I have trouble saying the word shoulder. You hurt your shoulder. That's never 100%. Every time you fall, something could happen.
I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's anybody we can look to in the past who's had shoulder surgery.
I don't like shoulders and knees scare the hell out of me.
Well, I think that's right. I mean that the you know you have that danger of him popping out again and all that kind of thing.
Well, especially the way he plays, he takes 10 hits a game.
He does. I just think he's back a little earlier than everybody would prefer because that team is so stinky. Mm-hmm. But you know, if he can stay reasonably healthy, get his legs back, and you know, he'll be back to what he was offering.
But we could both agree that if New Orleans calls Miami and says, "Hey, if this could work under the cap," they said, "Hey, we want to give you Chris Paul for Dwayne Wade," Miami would think about it much longer than New Orleans would.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I think New Orleans appears to have a plan.
Yes.
And you know, the best point guard in the NBA, with all due respect to Jay Kidd, the best young point guard in the NBA.
No, I think he's the best. Nobody can guard him.
Yeah,
nobody
can
stay in front of him.
It's true.
All right, last group is called Completely and Utterly Untouchable. And Steve Nash is starting us off at number four.
Yeah.
Partly because of his contract, which is 3 years, $39.7 million, which is a huge bargain. But
it's
also,
still, that's a below-market contract for what he brings.
I feel like he's like KG in that the team could never trade him, first of all. And second of all, he gives you a chance to win a championship because he makes everybody so much better around him. I even think he's a little more valuable than KG because KG makes $20 million a year and Nash makes $13 million.
Yeah, I guess that's right. I mean, it's tough to think about Steve Nash in any situation other than Phoenix because of how transcendent he's been for them and how he sort of lifted the entire fortunes of that whole franchise, put him on his back and has, you know, put him right into that they're competing for a title every year that he's healthy category.
This might be too high for him.
For Nash?
Well, I'm thinking, like, what if New Orleans offered them Chris Paul for Nash?
Well, that's the thing. I was going to say the same thing about Wade. I mean, this is the argument you and I have had in the past. I think that you're looking at a two-year window with Nash. Nash to Phoenix, he's extra specially important to them, more important to them than any other team in the league.
Well, would you feel good if I moved him right after Chris Paul and Dwayne Wade?
Yeah.
Move him from four to six?
Yes.
Right next to Kevin Garnett?
That's what would make me happy.
So now the previous group would go Yao Ming, Nowitzki, Garnett, Nash, Wade, Paul.
That sounds right to me.
Okay. All right, I'm going to leave that for now and see if it sticks. Last group. Completely and utterly untouchable. So we moved Nash out. Number three is Tim Duncan. Everything's been said. Number two, Dwight Howard. Number one, LeBron. Is there any argument with LeBron versus Howard?
No. I can save us both the time and get us in under deadline. N-O.
Okay. So we can't even, like, take sides and make a fake argument for excitement.
I mean, the problem is I don't love Orlando. I think that we've seen the very best from Orlando in the month of November, and we're going to see anything near that good from them. But that doesn't take anything away from Dwight Howard. I mean, he's going to be awesome the whole year long. He's going to be dominant. He's going to lead a league in dunks, and you know, he's going to get all of the rebounds and everything. All his contributions are going to be tremendous. But that team, at the end of the day, if they win a playoff series, that'll be an eyebrow raiser for me.
Well, you and I have both been astonished by Brown Bond this season. Just, but in my opinion, by far the best guy in the league.
Oh my God!
By far.
Yes, he. You know, I mean, he's got some. He makes me think in the back of my head when I see him rip off these triple doubles. Can he get anywhere near those Oscar numbers? I mean, you know, it seems unattainable that anybody would average a triple double for a season, but I want to think about it with him. He makes me think about whether that's
I think
feasible.
He could do it. I just don't think he could do it with Larry Hughes and Drew Gooden and Sasha Pavlovich.
No, you don't think that?
No. I think he could do it on the right team. It's just this isn't the right team.
This is not the right team.
But 2 years from now, we might see it.
When he's on the Knicks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he's on the Knicks or the Brooklyn Nets.
Right. Oh, the Brooklyn
he's probably going to end up in the Brooklyn Nets.
He is going to end up with the Brooklyn Nets. And hopefully the people of Cleveland won't take issue with you or I for saying that. But
all right, House, we made it into the deadline by 2 minutes. Thank you for breaking your podcast virginity with me.
Dollar Bill, always a pleasure.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Later. Target the sound off.
Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.